The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. Two stories in this week's episode. We'll be calling UKRD's William Rogers to find out about Local Radio Day, which is designed to publicise and celebrate what he calls real local radio. But first to Nottingham, where Sam Pinkham and Amy Vose have been celebrating 10 award-filled years together on the East Midlands regional station, GEM 106.
GEM.
Sam and Amy on GEM.
This is the Radio Today programme. We are Sam and Amy.
And today we'll be chatting to the ever so lovely Trevor Dan.
Well, how nice of you to have me on your podcast.
Pleasure. Thank you for coming in.
Congratulations on your 10th birthday on air.
Thank you.
What a thrill that must have been. And as we speak today, last week you did your 10th birthday show for 10 hours. Mm. How gruelling was that?
It actually wasn't that gruelling. It was more quite one of the best shows we've done, actually, because it was all the fun, the most fun bits we've done over the last 10 years. And sort of recapping a lot of it, and there were lots of surprises, like baby goats in the studio.
I was going to say, I saw you on Twitter with a goat.
I love the goats.
What was that about?
I really like animals, so it was something that they surprised me with a few weeks prior. I can't remember, is it a month or so ago? It was because we were doing Dairy Free Week, we had goats in. So it was just an excuse to get some animals in, but they got 10 goats in. Into the studio with us, and there was lots of cake, and we.
And Sam, you had to give birth, or at least experience it.
Yeah, they faked my labour, and they took
me to simulated labour, isn't it?
They took me to 10 centimetres dilated, and any lady, any mum now listening, I literally felt your pain. It was incredible. The interesting thing was about the 10 years, though, is that to be honest, we've had a brilliant 10 years. We've really, really enjoyed it, but it feels now that it's gone pretty quickly. Mm. But one of our old engineers who used to work here, a guy called Tim Howlett. Who now works for the BBC, well, he came to our sort of our 10-year after party, and he told me that this radio station, GEM, formerly Heart, formerly Century, had been on air for 20 years and had had
eight
breakfast shows in those 20 years. And obviously we've been on for 10. So it tells you what the turnover of breakfast shows normally. And then I suddenly thought, blimey, it is. We've been on for a long time.
I know it's difficult to analyse how relationships work and why they do. And perhaps you shouldn't do it too much because then you discover the things that would make it not work. But you must have been asked this a lot of times. Having done a decade together, what is it? I mean, for me, it's that you're not competitive with each other. But maybe that's not true.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, we're both frowning.
Yeah, no, we are.
Because
if there's ever a challenge.
Oh, I mean, not professionally, I don't think.
Oh, that's, I meant.
Yeah, I mean, on the show, if there's something, there's a challenge, then we're hideously competitive.
But you're not looking to carve out your own careers separate from one another all the time, which a lot of double acts, I think, have been over the years.
No, I think we've worked together, but I think we've both talked openly about, you know, other things we'd like to do individually, and we're different people with different interests, but we're both aware of that, so it's never been a conflict.
The other thing is we've both over the years worked with other people temporarily when I've been off and vice versa. And the truth is, it is just never the same. So although I think that if Amy got offered a TV show, well, you did do. Amy has done some TV recently without me, and I would do the same. I like to think that we're at our best when we're together. So
what's the worst thing about working with her then, Sam?
That's nothing, I'm sure.
What's the worst thing? I mean, she knows me really well, really well. So I can't get away with anything. If I said something that wasn't true and trying to get away with it, which I do on quite a regular basis.
Mm. Well, you're a bloke. That's what we do.
Well, there we go. She's on me rapidly, unless she knows that I need to lie about something in order for it to work on the radio, in which case she'll let me. But we do understand each other. And what we do have is that we know that if one of us says something, cue something up, the other one will always do what the other wanted them to do, if that makes sense. I know that I can say anything and I know exactly what she'll say and vice versa.
And what's his foible?
What's that word? Foible.
Yeah, his weakness.
I don't know, it's hard when they sat in front of you, Tony.
Go on, I'll look down.
I don't know, what's the... I don't know, Dangerous Dave's probably quite good. What's his biggest weakness?
You need to come up to the microphone, buddy.
Sorry.
This is Dangerous Dave, the producer.
Hi, everybody.
I mean, I guess there's...
about his body a lot.
Yeah, I think like he'll get obsessions, and then, you know, like at the moment it's CrossFit, and there might be fads he'll try and kind of enforce upon you. There's a lot of things you have to endure being around him sometimes, but you know, it's okay sometimes.
Thing is, Trevor, is that if we weren't radio broadcasters together, we would be married. And we both know that.
We wouldn't.
We both know that.
No.
So it's almost like we're constantly being teased. Every day we come in and we're like, oh, there she is again. Oh, there he is again. And, you know, until we don't work together, we can't get married.
Amy's a bit sceptical about that analysis.
Yeah. I think there's like a really fine line between us driving each other a bit nuts, but also we find the same things funny. So it's kind of like just a bit of a fine balance, I think. We seem to get on better when we're not at work. So I don't know if
that's true.
Which is a weird truth.
Here's a radio technique question. Do you find yourself pointing at each other to say, it's your turn now? Or do you do it by little blinks and eye movements? Mm. How do you know that he's finished and it's your job to start now?
Sometimes he hasn't finished or I haven't finished. I don't think it really... There's not many cues. But occasionally, and if we're playing audio, there might be. But I think generally we'll just... Pick up where seems appropriate.
The only time I do it is if I'm panicking because I'm running out. So it doesn't happen very often. It did happen this morning. Yeah. I got halfway through something this morning. I thought, oh, I'm in a cul-de-sac here. And I'll just go, hum, I'll point at her and then she'll go. And luckily, I can pretty much guarantee she'll always be okay. But no, Nat, normally we don't talk about it.
I've got to ask you, because of what's been going on in the wider world, about being from Leicester.
Oh, yes. Me.
And that's L-E-S-T-A-H,
yep.
As we're now learning to Lestor. Spell it.
Yep.
What's it been like being on air and celebrating the whole Leicester City phenomenon?
It's been really, really exciting, actually, because although, yes, I may have jumped on the Leicester City Football Club bandwagon sort of a bit earlier on in the season, I made sure it was a good few months before, but I've always been very, very passionate about Leicester as a city. It's where I'm from, and I feel like it's always had a really bad rep, and I've always tried to champion it. And for this to happen, I've just embraced it, and it's just been great to be able to shout it from the rooftops and have the kind of backup of the football team doing so well and hear people speaking so positively about it and, you know, nationally as well, and seeing it on the news. And
how
have
your listeners in Nottingham, and the studio, of course, is in Nottingham, how have they reacted to that? Because Leicester are kind of, well, they're not as much of an enemy as Derby County, but
no.
they're very competitive.
Well, I think this is what is the beauty of the whole Leicester City story, is because they were the underdogs. I mean, our producer, Paul, is the most passionate Nottingham man you have ever met. I mean, he despised Leicester. However, now, even he was like, you know, I hope they do it. It's amazing for the city. And the more he visits Leicester, the more he realises that it's not a bad place to live. And I think that's the general consensus. I think it's everyone's got behind them. So it hasn't felt like a real fierce rivalry between Nottingham, Leicester and Derby. It feels like everyone was behind them to do well.
Do you find, on a broader issue... You know, you're about to join Bauer and you're going to be a big city station, quote unquote, and yet you're a big three cities station. Over the 10 years that you've been doing this, how easy, Sam, has it been to be the broadcaster of choice for three places which are very close to each other but are kind of competitive one with the other?
Well, when we first started, because I moved here to Westbridge for Nottingham, and so I kind of championed Nottingham. Amy obviously has always championed Leicester, and Dangerous Dave, who works on our show as well, I don't know why, because there were definitely times in the early days where Dave talked about Derby more than he possibly should have done, because he's only been there five times. So we definitely
you don't
went.
Look like a man from Derby.
I've been to Roller World in Derby sometimes. It's good fun for roller skating.
But we definitely in the early days made sure we covered them all three off and in equal measures. But I think now the people of the East Midlands know that we cover the East Midlands now, and there will. I mean, obviously, in the last couple of months we've been hammering Leicester, but before that we were busy on Nottingham. So providing you keep them all happy, it seems to work.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was talk on the radio. I mean, you do a music show, but I'd venture to suggest that the main reason people listen to it is because of you two, because they love the interplay and the personalities. I've recently been listening to John Holmes on talk radio, who's been a DJ and obviously is a comedian, but he's now doing what's effectively a music show with no music in it, because it sounds like a DJ program, but it's just funny and you don't have to wait through a record that you don't necessarily like. I wonder whether you see that kind of format being something that you two would enjoy.
Yeah, I think potentially. I mean, the only thing that's quite nice to have a break between the songs just to gather yourself.
Yeah.
Give yourself a moment.
We haven't really ever had the opportunity to really sort of flex our muscles in talk radio. But then having said that, I mean, some of our links go on for 5 or 6 minutes on a regular basis.
You know how they used to say about Billy Connolly? Because he started off as a folk singer and then his introductions to his songs got longer and longer and eventually just put the guitar down and just kept talking.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's that kind of thing that would interest you in the future. This is not a job offer, by the way.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, I think I'd be interested to see how it went, really, because I think sometimes, especially with Dangerous Dave as well, is if we start talking about something, we could go for a very long time. Whether or not that would make good broadcasting is another.
Do you get told that your links are too long sometimes? Do you have
we've all got a pretty good idea of when something's running out of time, you know, running out of energy, or we know now. I mean, Dave doesn't. Dangerous Dave's not very good. He'll carry on just chatting and chatting.
Loves the sound of his own voice.
Yeah, that's right. But even our producer's in the studio with us. He's not really an on-air producer, but he does occasionally chip in. And he's never once wrapped us up. No. But there are times where you think that could have been a bit tighter.
I think sometimes yourself, you just think, well, I'm talking about this too much. But then if you've got really good content or you're getting a huge reaction, then sometimes it would be nice to go for long. But I don't know. I think it's, we never have to rein it in, do we, really?
One other thing I wanted to ask you about was not the Bauer takeover, but one symptom of it is that our mutual friend David Lloyd is not involved with you anymore. Mm. That's going to be a shame for all of radio unless he finds something else to do. I just wondered if you wanted to say a word about David, because he's such a good guy.
No, it's really strange, because when we obviously found out the news last week, that was kind of like, he said, you know, this is my last day. And it was really sad. It was just because, you know, you're used to seeing his energy and his shirts.
Sometimes those shoes
around.
As well.
Shoes.
Yeah, and
good
shoes. I mean, he's just Mr. Radio, isn't he? But, I mean, obviously we're going to see him again soon. But it's, I guess it will be kind of odd, really, not to see David about. And he's just been such a great presence.
He is just... he's just a lovely, lovely bloke. And over the years, Amy and I, as you know, we've been on Breakfast for 10 years. We've been on air for 13 years here, 12, 13 years. And so we've had at least 5 contract negotiations, because most of our contracts are 2 years, 2 or 3 years. And every single one of those, for me, has been awkward. Because it is, because you always want more money and they want more time or whatever. Or they don't want to give you more money. It's just business, isn't it? And for me, my last one was with David, and it was in a pub next to his house. And it was the easiest meeting I've ever had, because he just said, look, it's as simple as this, Sam. I want to keep you for a bit longer, but this is all I've got. And he said, and if you say you'll do it, let's have a glass of wine. And because he's such a nice bloke, I just thought, I want to carry on working for this bloke. And he's a lovely guy, and I will really miss him.
I think it says a lot about him as well, especially with the whole, when we did cover on Radio 2, and that was obviously, we didn't know how that would go down with Orion, and, you know, David was just excited more than anything, you know, because he understands radio.
He's a radio man, isn't he?
Yeah,
and he wouldn't stand in your way.
No, and what a big deal it is, and we'll always be grateful for that. He's fantastic.
Well done, David, and he'll be along in a minute on this podcast with his radio moments as ever. But in the meantime, congratulations, Sam and Amy, on your 10 years, and here's to another 10.
Great.
Oh, crikey. Thanks, Trevor.
Let's have the jingle again.
Gem. Sam and Amy on Gem.
We'll check in as usual with David Lloyd for some radio moments later on. Stuart Clarkson's here too with this week's news, but now, Local Radio Day. Let's find out more from UKRD CEO William Rogers, who's in the studios of Pirate FM in Cornwall.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So May the 27th is the date. It's National Local Radio Day, William Rogers' idea. William, you're saying it's a day devoted to proper local radio. What do you mean by proper?
Proper local radio for us is radio that is delivered from, or primarily from, within a geographical location that is focused on delivering a service to the community from which and to which it broadcasts. So it's a geographically focused radio service. What you might call in the old days a more traditional approach to local radio.
Are you having a bit of a dig at some of your more celebrated competitors, some of the bigger groups who've perhaps moved away from that concept?
No, this is not about having a go at anything. It's a bit like saying, you know, if you take three great national radio stations, BBC Radio 4, TalkSport, Classic FM, they're not local radio, but they are fantastic radio services and they do a fantastic job. This is not about criticising anybody else or anybody else's model. But what it is about is celebrating a part of the sector that we feel, and I certainly feel, has not had the credit or the recognition or indeed the profile that it deserves. And local radio in this country provides a hugely valuable service at whatever level it's delivered. So this is about celebrating what the proper local radio sector does and is about elevating and referencing its delivery at a higher level than perhaps over the last 5 to 10 years it has received.
You've invited other groups and other stations to join this UKRD initiative. How much success have you had so far?
Well, so far up over 30. I've in fact got conversations this week and next week with other groups and individual operators. And it's interesting that it's now started about a week in since we announced this to get some quite significant traction amongst other groups and also across the community sector and potentially also the public sector as well. And there are more conversations to take place about that. So I'm very confident that as we move towards the 27th, we will very likely have certainly dozens and potentially scores of local radio stations involved in this celebration of what we do.
And what will it actually mean for listeners? What will they hear on these stations that are taking part?
Well, obviously, each individual local operation will determine how it celebrates what it does in its own community. I can give you a couple of examples from our perspective. There will be new sort of competitions, events. One of our own radio stations, for example, is travelling around its entire TSA in a wrapped double-decker bus visiting 80 different locations during the TSA with competitions and involving local businesses as well as listeners in that activity. So it's really about trying to encapsulate in a day all of those things that are important. We've engaged members of parliament, councillors, we've got interviews taking place, engaging local organisations and charities. So it's to try and focus on one day all of those things that make proper local radio such a fantastic contributor to local communities and everything that they represent. And so it's going to be a busy day for a lot of stations, but clearly each individual radio station will make its own mind up and its own judgment about what they do.
I see you've got John Whittingdale in vision on the Local Radio Day website. How easy was it to tempt him to give it his endorsement?
I have to say it was extremely quick. John Whittingdale was very, very responsive. It was a 24-hour response. He was very keen to get involved. He made it very clear to us that he was a very big fan of local radio and was very pleased to endorse it and become involved in supporting it. And I have to tell you, access was easy, his response was swift, and we're delighted to have the Secretary of State's endorsement.
William, you are a big fan of local radio. You've talked a lot about it. You've built your group around being what you call proper local radio. And yet one or two of the other big groups have really moved in the opposite direction. And they say, if not publicly, but quietly, they always say there's not enough money to be made. You can't really run a business with local radio stations. You've got to make them national brands. Why do you think you're able to do it and deliver a profit, which I know you're proud of because you talk about it on your website?
Yes, and in fact, as we speak, UKRD is having a record year and will be delivering record revenues and record profits and record dividends to its shareholders this year. And I simply disagree with the premise. And if you take our teams, who are, in my view, some of the most fantastic teams of radio professionals in the country. Their engagement, their approach, their hard work, their professionalism. They live, eat, sleep, breathe their radio stations. They're proud of their stations. The culture in our business is a fantastic place to work. And they really believe that they're there to deliver a fantastic service to the local community. And once you start to do that, and you get under the skin of that local community, the local community will respond. I'll give you one example. If you take Yorkshire Coast Radio, that is the smallest radio station in our portfolio. Broadcasts are just over 100,000 adults along the Yorkshire coast. And that radio station's reach has gone from the early 30s, six odd years ago, to one of the highest reaches of any mainland station in the country at 48%. Its revenues have more than doubled in that period of time. Its profits have clearly, as a result, accelerated dramatically. And yet it is one of the smallest radio stations in the country. So I completely reject the notion that it is no longer possible to have a viable, successful, growing commercial, local radio commercial business if you do things locally. I actually think that as we go further into the digital age, it's someone's local presence in the market that will define them and will help them to grow their business by having a greater footprint in that area. And so as we move into a multi-platform arena, I think our radio stations will maximize the impact that they have and they will grow as a result. I am a passionate advocate of local radio because I believe that it not only can be commercially successful, as our businesses are, but I also believe that they are something which is sadly disappearing from all too many communities. They're a bit of the glue that holds communities together. And I think there is a fantastic future for local radio in this country, and we should sing about it more, we should shout about it more and celebrate what it does much more than we do. It's a great industry, a great sector, and it's not on its backside at all. Certainly as far as I'm aware, it's growing, it's thriving, and we're employing more people than we ever have employed in our radio stations. It's a success and we should celebrate it.
Do you think that there's an opportunity for some of the better run community radio stations to grow and fill in the gap in the areas that you've just described, where all of what was local radio is now pretty much national branded radio?
I think that's possible. I think the nature of the beast makes that more difficult. I think the easiest way to ensure that local radio thrives and prospers is to have a licensing and regulatory regime that permits that, whether that ultimately broadens the base of it and takes a broader look at the community sector itself, or simply, and in my view, properly restores license delivery and the provision of services from a local concept and context back into those local arenas. There's no doubt in my mind that local people, given the opportunity, and we're going to shortly publish some research that will comprehensively confirm a lot of what I'm saying, comprehensively want their local media to be engaged in their local community. That's what local radio is, and at whatever level that is, and in whatever way that might be delivered by whichever organisation, local radio is something that we should all be proud of, whether it's done by the BBC, the local commercial radio sector, or the community sector. It's a great part of our media landscape, and that's really what this is all about. It's about giving it the credit it deserves and promoting it far more than what I sadly believe to be an almost relegated position, because it's all perceived either to be too difficult or doesn't work or people don't want it anymore. None of those things could be farther from the truth. And this is about trying to reverse that sense of decline and frustration that sadly I think the radio industry has accepted as being the norm, when every piece of information I have from within our own organisation tells me it could not be further from the truth.
A lot of people listening to this, William, will say amen to that and wish you very well. So it's Friday, May the 27th, Local Radio Day, and good luck with it, and thanks for talking to the Radio Today programme.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Time now for this week's news. Here's Stuart Clarkson.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. The big story this week was the sale of Orion Media in the Midlands to Bauer for a reported £40 or £50 million. The group was formed 7 years ago, of course, to buy assets Global had to sell as part of the takeover of GCAP, BR&B, Mercia, Beacon, Wyvern and Heart East Midlands. The latter became Gem 106, while the West Midlands stations are now called Free Radio. Bauer says the takeover of Orion means the group now has 71 stations and a commercial radio listening share of 34%. The most viewed story of the week on Radio Today this week has been about an Ofcom complaint. East London community station Beta Bangla Radio is in trouble with the regulator after its Sunday afternoon children's hour show broadcast a song containing 53 swear words, 14 of them starting with the letter F. To make matters worse, the presenter of the show was a 9-year-old and the adult overseeing the programme had left the studio for 8 to 10 minutes for a bathroom break and prayer break. This year's radio festival has been brought forward a day. It'll now be on Monday the 26th of September. This is to avoid a clash with a memorial service that's been planned for Sir Terry Wogan at Westminster Abbey on the 27th of September. And that'll be 50 years to the day since Sir Terry's first broadcast for the BBC on the Light programme doing midday spin. Bauer has got a new DAB pop-up station on air on several multiplexes around the country for the next few weeks. Magic ABBA is part of a commercial deal with the Mamma Mia musical and is playing nothing but ABBA songs. Radio Air in Leeds is changing its breakfast show again. Stuart Elmore moves to Drive. His breakfast co-host Kelly Pegg stays on the morning show until a new presenter is announced to join her. She's going to be teaming up with Hallam FM Drive Time host Simon Morrikin, who's double shifting for a few weeks. And John Kennedy from Radio X is getting the Music Champion Award at the Arqiva Awards this month. The new award is to celebrate the importance of commercial radio's relationship with music. And you can hear the 2016 Arqivas on Tuesday night. That's the 17th of May. Radio Today Live will be broadcast on In Radio, presented by me and Lucy Jones, and will include the awards ceremony in full from the stage at London's Roundhouse. And those are the big stories this week from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
100 years of radio
with David Lloyd.
Gardening programmes are very much part of radio now, aren't they? Certainly on Radio 4 and BBC Local Radio. It's exactly 85 years since the first gardening programme was aired. It was called The Week in the Garden.
This is the national programme. And here's Mr. Middleton.
Good evening. Well, how do you like this for a bit of spring weather? Perhaps I shall get rid of my winter cold if we get a month or two of this. It's wonderful what a day or two can, a difference a day or two can make, isn't it, in the garden? I had a look at Wisley last night.
C.H. Middleton, as he was known back then, with the BBC's first gardening offering, and a rare example of one of the first ad-libbed factual programmes. A great deal's been written and said over the years about the launch of Radio Caroline, but less well recalled is the arrival just a few weeks afterwards of a rival in the North Sea.
Radio Atlanta, on our very first day, our Champers Day, bringing you brighter broadcasting and the finest sounds around.
At 201 metres, you're in tune with the Bob Scott Show, Living, Loving, Happy Radio Atlanta, the ship that rocks the ocean.
Well, it really did sound like that. The pirate Radio Atlanta on air from the Mi Amigo ship. And then, in an early example of consolidation and brand spread, it later merged with Caroline. Very few presenters have had hit records, the exceptions being JY,
oh, my love,
Tony Blackburn.
There's so few women nowadays who understand the soul.
Terry Wogan, of course.
Fiddle, cello, big bass drum.
And exactly 40 years ago this week.
That's right, Newport, Bagnall, Tollington, and even Wofford Gap. But after so many eggs, chips, sausage and beans, what I really needed was a nap.
Convoy GB it was, from Laurie Lingo and the Dipsticks, otherwise known as DLT and Paul Burnett from Radio 1, reaching number 4 this week in 1976. The early days of commercial radio saw a lot of industrial action from both the Journalists' Union and also the broadcasters too. Radio Trent in Nottingham was hit more than most, including a walkout this week 40 years ago.
There is some personal animosity between me and the managing director.
It's difficult to define, as I suppose it always would have been. I was hired by the board of this company, not by Dennis Mogan.
40 years since the Trent walkout in Nottingham. Industrial action there famously saw picketing outside and food parcels being winched up to those holed up inside. In the early days of this great medium of ours, the radio announcements have almost become news in themselves. This week in 1945, Churchill addressed the nation for VE Day.
This is London. The Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Winston Churchill.
Yesterday morning at 2:41 a.m. at General Eisenhower's headquarters, General Jodl, the representative of the German...
Imagine introducing that speech. Winston Churchill's address this week, 71 years ago, from the Cabinet Room at No. 10 Broadcasting House, was floodlit just afterwards for the first time in 8 years, and the microphone that they used, which was a Gampian microphone, was sold at auction in 2005 for £18,000. 1985. Now, and Tony Della Hunty commentates live for IRN and Pennine Radio in Bradford from Valley Parade.
We're on fire here at Valley Parade. The whole end of the stand at one side is actually in flames now. I can see the orange of the flames. The game is actually stopped here at Valley Parade. Before that, there was a certain amount of shaking of fists and a bit of a hoo-ha at that far end. And they're running out of the ground now from that far end at this moment. And I'm hoping that the police, I can see some policemen's helmets over there, can control this. It looks like there could be a situation.
Tony Della Hunty's coverage of the Bradford fire disaster this week, 31 years ago. And another example of unexpected tragic drama this week in 1937, when the Hindenburg touchdown turned to disaster.
This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's 400 or 500 feet into the sky. It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. Oh, the humanity and all the passengers.
Commentary from this week in 1937, when the German passenger airship, the Hindenburg, caught fire. 36 people died, 62 survived. So with Capital announcing it had bought Red Dragon Radio in Cardiff from EMAP 18 years ago...
We know what we are, we know how we feel, Red Dragon Radio.
Johnny Walker announcing his departure from Radio 1 after being told he must pretend to like the Bay City Rollers 40 years ago... James Wales celebrating his 65th birthday.
I don't really care what you do because nobody listens after 6 in the evening, so do whatever you like.
New York's Music Radio 77 WABC flitting format to Talk 34 years ago.
This is WABC New York. I can't say that anymore, can I? But it's been a ball.
And 2LO launching from London 94 years ago.
The London station of the British Broadcasting Company calling.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Hello, Marconi House, London. Radio Moments.
Thanks as ever to David Lloyd, to Sam and Amy, and to William Rogers, Stuart Clarkson, researcher Hayley Hayes, and of course you for listening. I'll bring you that tour of Global Radio's HQ next time. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.